We live in a world where we are all used to seeing numbers go up. It could be likes or followers or shares or hearts. Your stock portfolio, the price of your house, the price of your meal. Everything in our modern world goes up and up and up. And our guest today thinks that we have a species level addiction to digits. Ivan Makadonsky is the chief of staff at Breeze, which is a leading developer of Lightning tools on the Bitcoin network. And he's joined us today to have a conversation about our addiction to digits. I'm Scott Deals. I'm the CEO and founder of Block Rewards, and part of our mission in bringing Bitcoin to the workplace is helping people understand how we'll help them. So if you're interested to learn something about why our fiat money system might be causing a cognitive dissonance in our unrelenting, habitual collection of digits, stick around. This one was a lot of fun. All right, welcome to another episode of the Block Reward Podcast. This week we are joined from the other side of the world by Chief of Staff of Breeze Bitcoin, Ivan Makadonsky. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So we're going to be a journey. I'm always interested, Ivan, to hear about people's experience with Bitcoin and what drew them to Bitcoin when they come from other parts of the world. Obviously, money is something that works very differently everywhere you travel, and people's experiences with their own local money can greatly affect why they're attracted to Bitcoin. And I'm wondering, maybe as a starting point, maybe just tell us a little bit about yourself before we get too far into Bitcoin.
I would say that I got a little bit lucky how I started to study Bitcoin, because in 2015, 16, something like that, I was recruited to start working in three coming companies. I didn't know that going in, but they used crypto to scam people from their money, that it's an investment thing. And I quit three in a span of 2 months. And just because when you make your first sale, you see what's actually happening behind the scenes. And I quit right away. But this preconditioned me to believe that everything crypto is a scam. And maybe I was going to study Bitcoin sooner and find out that it was not. Because of this preconditioning and preframing for myself, my lady actually invested in Ethereum. And when we met in 2020, she was chasing me for more than a year to study and make money about this. And I was really resistant. But my final straw was a close friend returned the money that he owed me out of nowhere. And I already expected not to see those money ever. But when he did that, I asked him, how are you able to pay me back? And he mentioned, oh, I invested in crypto and everything is great and I'm making a lot of money. And I said, okay, this is the final straw. I'm going to study and prove to everybody that this is a scam. Like, I know because I worked in these types of companies. So I know that it is a scam, but I'll study and prove it. And in 2021, December, my Christmas vacation, I had like 12 days of vacation. And for 14 hours straight, every single day, I binged on content, 3x. So in the first 3 days, I found out, okay, Bitcoin is different. And in the next 10 days, I figured out, okay, this is so important that I must contribute to this space. I have no idea how or what, but because of the mission of fixing the money so it can trickle down to fixing the world, then I became this evangelist, and a little bit of luck and some strategical positioning on my side actually ended me in 8 months. Actually, I started to work in the space a little bit, and then I was recruited by Breeze, which is a Lightning company project. We're building infrastructure for the Lightning network. And in a nutshell, I would say that's it.
We're going to come back to talk about Breeze a little bit later on in the show. So in your three times speed journey of understanding and orange pilling yourself, do you remember what it was where you started to really understand. And maybe you could just, for our listeners, try to explain what it was for you that really separated Bitcoin from everything else.
I would say the thing that really made me understand that Bitcoin is different is the proof of work mechanism. Because I understood that this is the mechanism that connects the digital world to reality, to real life energy. And obviously, to get there, you need to understand that our current digital numbers and digits are not connected to it. So any fiat, if it is a printed bill, the connection to reality is the paper. But if you print, let's say, $1 on one bill, it's one thing. But then you put a zero next to that one and you don't believe that this is one paper. You believe that this is 10 digits. And that's the illusion. So it is connected to reality on paper because it's one paper. But the more and more digits you have on that paper, that connection to it becomes diluted more and more. And when you go to the digital world, it's not even a paper. It's a microprocessor that clicked one time, so even the energy connection is much, much smaller. So I would say that was a very important part of the Bitcoin, but that means that every other proof of work, crypto or blockchain or whatever, is also connected to reality. But you need to understand a little bit technical stuff, why Bitcoin outperformed and will outperform all of them. And that's on the money side that I understood. Okay, so we had defective money for many, many years. And those defective money attracted the marketing team of the defective money, which are central banks, politicians, or anybody that benefits from this defective money, to put out a message that 2% inflation is good for us and we should like it. So if we steal 2% of your productivity, yeah, don't complain, just like it. But it's a journey, as I said, to get that in order to appreciate Bitcoin. But the thing that really captured me, because of my personal story, another thing that happened to me in 2008, when the financial crisis hit, my mother was a business lady and she did fairly well for our country. But in 2013, when she wanted a divorce with my father, he actually decided to kidnap and kill her in order to get his fair share out of the family assets. And all the stuff that I had to deal with between 2013 and 2020, that about wills, about taking custody of my smaller sister, and all the problems that I had dealt there, when I heard the Jason Lowry's thesis about power projection, and this is not just money, but cyber shield that is going to protect you in cyberspace and all the assets that are in cyberspace. And Bitcoin is the first use case, so the money is the first use case of this new network and this new system, then I became obsessed about it. And that's why I jumped in with both feet. And that's why I said I must contribute, because I understand this on a much deeper level through my personal experience. And I just need to be that message for a lot of more people that don't know that problems are coming and they will experience a lot of bad stuff. But yeah, I orange peeled all my family. My 80-year-old grandma has Bitcoin. So yeah, I will do whatever I have to for the people I love. And now I am just expanding the message to all the people that would listen, because I would not force people that are, how do I say, not related to me, but the relatives, I really like them to be saved, even if they don't understand it. So yeah.
It's a tragic story that I was aware of from preparing for this conversation. I'm so sorry that you experienced that. On a more positive note, what you're talking about subsequently and how you've treated the rest of your family, I think is one of the most bullish reasons to believe in Bitcoin, is that how many people, when they understand the idea, sort of go out of their way. It's not really for most people about personal financial benefit at all. It's about helping other people avoid or minimize the blunt force trauma of what's happening with the depreciation of currencies through inflation. I want to come back to something you said about other proof of work cryptocurrencies and finish that thought, because I think that's a really interesting point to make. And so what was it about Bitcoin for you that distinguished it from other proof of work currencies?
You just have to realize the Moore's law, that the network effect is probably the biggest thing that is having an effect. Some of them are just on a technical side. For example, something that has constant inflation throughout the years is not a fixed supply. That's a clear technical distinction that one is more scarce and the other one is not. But even the cryptos that have some scarcity, whether it's 21 million, 41 million, 42 or whatever it is, it doesn't matter the actual units, but if it is programmed to be absolute scarcity, then it's on the same ground as Bitcoin. But because Bitcoin actually fixed the problem and it has the network effect, it cannot be overtaken just by the people interacting in it. Just like, let's change the Arabic numbers not to be 123, but 132. Like, good luck convincing whole humanity. This is one of the very few things that we all agree on, that those symbols are called 123 and not 132. That is why I would say, compared to the other proof of work crypto blockchains, cannot be like this. Even let's say that Bitcoin has some type of a bug or anything happens, because it's not like gold. Gold is what it is, again, connected to reality, but you cannot change gold. And we know this, that it has a bug about sending it through time and space. So if you want to send gold on the other side of the world, you cannot fix this real limitation. But in Bitcoin, if it has some limitation, it is also software. And you can fix that limitation if all of us agree, okay, yeah, this is important and this is degrading our money. So let's fix it, and we'll have a little bit of a code update, and we don't have that bug anymore.
So you're sort of, we're talking about a few different core differentiators about Bitcoin, which might be a good segue into a question I like to ask the guests every week, which is, what is Bitcoin?
For the newbie, I would say Bitcoin is money, because that's where everybody has to start with. In order to appreciate this money, you need to understand why all the other money are inferior to this superior money. But if you go really deep into the rabbit hole, I even wrote an article that is saying Bitcoin is so much more than money. But because it's an unknown thing, the language around it is not even developed. And we need to develop the words in order to explain a reality. Because right now, some people are saying Bitcoin is an inflation hedge. And we already experienced, while inflation was hot, Bitcoin was not really a hedge against it. So you cannot fit it into being this. So, but as we talked through the proof of work mechanism, Bitcoin is a reality, and we need to observe what this reality and this unknown thing that was not present before, what is the proper language through observing and through the properties and actions that we can take, so we can assign the proper words, and we need to understand it. And that process alone will take us a lot of time, I would say, because I don't know exactly how new words come to be in our dictionary, but it's not like just because you and me decided, oh, we figured it out, so yeah, let's assign this one. A lot of people need to come to consensus in order to say this unknown thing, we'll need to assign the word to it. So yeah, But I would say this is for the people that are beyond the money, beyond let's invest in it, let's trade in it. This is an asset. This is thing. But when you get to the position that you understand, oh, this is also an electrical system. And it's not only an electrical system, but it's changing the dynamics in the electricity production site and the abundance of energy in the whole globe. And where do you go with that new electrical system that pays you money? Not only that, but you figure out, oh, this is not only electrical system money, but also a heating system. And you go into that, then you figure out, okay, this is a cybersecurity system. And there are many, many more things that are all correct. And if you say Bitcoin is just one of them, it's not going to limit what Bitcoin is, but your understanding of Bitcoin will be limited. And it's almost certain that at some point, because you don't understand the other use cases, that you will miss an opportunity or you misuse the Bitcoin system in a way that it might hurt you. So, yeah. I think I covered the newbies and the more advanced people, but because it's this deep journey that we all say falling down the rabbit hole, it is just, there is no bottom because money is everything in our human lives, but energy is actually life. Like, good luck figuring all those use cases and stuff out. So, yeah.
Yeah, it can even be a triggering subject when you start trying to even suggest the idea to some people that Bitcoin is perhaps a much more than a monetary technology. And even beyond some of those things you were mentioning, energy, you know, like I think of it also as, had Yoni Appleberg on a few months ago describing it as an economic psychedelic, because it is also very true to say that Bitcoin conceptually is an idea that will challenge and cause you to just think about the world in a completely different way. And which is another very cool use case for this thing that I really enjoyed hearing you talk about this idea that, you know, maybe we don't even have the correct verbiage to properly talk about this thing right now. I can't say I've ever heard that idea expressed in exactly that way. I was listening to you talk, thinking about what you were saying earlier, this idea that it's the same piece of paper. It's that one piece of paper has a 1 on it and the other piece of paper has a 10 on it. And it's just such a crazy idea how we use money as sort of a language of value. And that language really has been dumbed down over the last, you know, 50, 100, however many years, to a place where I feel like today it's actually become so nonsensical that it's sort of difficult to basically make sense of the world, because our money systems, it doesn't matter where you live, all the money systems have just become silly. You know, you're trying to understand things that do make sense using a language or a measuring system that just really doesn't have rules and doesn't make sense and doesn't work the same way depending on where you are. If you tried to make sense of your local area using the Canadian money that I use, that wouldn't work for you either. It's just a crazy place to be.
Yeah, and it is a system that does not want anything from anybody. Absolutely, first time from any money ever. Like all the fiat are the worst part of it because it's forced upon us. Yeah, when they say use these digits in our borders that are again imaginary, but use this money and you can trade with all the people in it. When you cross the border, all this money is defective and you're not allowed to use it. But even if you try to use it, probably the locals there don't want it. And I would say that it's not only about the digits in the fiat. I was thinking, and probably it will be an article at some point, but I was thinking there are so many other digits that they want us to be addicted to. The other digits, let's say, are all the social media. Like they want us addicted to the likes, to the shares, to all the stuff there. And yeah, they give us some benefits to communicate on those platforms and stuff like that. But the difference within the math digits and the digits for a fiat currency, the digits for social media, or the numbers in a video game that's, again, some type of a currency within the game, they want us addicted there, or they want us addicted to the department stores that they gave us loyalty cards or flying points, or everybody wants to addict us to their digits. And math is actually an open source kind of thing that anybody that uses it is totally free. It's not forced upon you, but it's extremely useful. And it's not only useful for the people that are using it, but the people that are using it are helping all the people that are not using it, and they're also beneficial. The difference between the math numbers and all the other numbers is that we have control over those numbers, and the other numbers, somebody else has the control over them. They can decide to censor you. They can decide your money is no longer welcome here. They can decide, oh, we're going to lock you out of your digits in your bank account. But for that control, they give us some benefit, because if you don't have any benefit, none of us will actually use it. But they give us some benefit to get you on the hook. And just like mass numbers, Bitcoin for the first time is money that nobody forces you. It gives you benefits beyond yourself using it, but all the people around you, all the people that are building on Bitcoin, are actually helping even the people that are not using it. And that is the dynamic there. But that in math and in Bitcoin, we have the control and all of us benefit. In all the other digits, somebody has control, whether it's a small group of people or a company or a nation state. It's somebody else has control, and they give us some benefit. And yeah, I would say that is a framework that I'm working on to expand in an article in the future.
That's very interesting. You know, the obvious one for me, the worst currencies in the world are loyalty points. And I think about air miles, and it's like people will go so far out of their way to collect these things, but then they are, you know, inflated away, and you can only spend them under a certain, you know, times during the year, or it's like it's a liability on the company that's offering them this balance sheet. And the easiest way for them to reduce that liability is to, you know, devalue those points that everyone has worked so hard to accumulate. So yeah, the I love the point that you made, the idea that it's the first money that is really not asking anything. It's sort of Bitcoin only gives. And I think that's also a point that I find sometimes people who are new to Bitcoin or trying to understand Bitcoin can struggle with, because the most obvious thing is that people who understood Bitcoin or held Bitcoin earlier do seem to be benefiting before everyone else. And that's obviously has nothing to do with Bitcoin. And just a lot to do with chance, or you know, people who happen to be exposed to the idea earlier. But yeah, I don't think that we think of the reason that our monies don't work cross border is to trap that value in our own sort of local area, where like it's like a pig pen. And the only reason that we have 167 different forms of money in the world today is because the governments that are issuing those monies need to have the ability to devalue their money strategically. Would they devalue our money? They need to have that flexibility and have that ability so that they can do things, whether the average person is interested in those things happening or not. And so that is a core piece of the Bitcoin value proposition, the idea of sort of undilutable, incorruptible, universally accessible money.
Yeah. And the problem is not that something can change, but we did not agree to it. That the game between the flying miles points is the exact same game in the fiat. Somebody is giving you some digits that they can control. They can say, oh, it's not allowed to use on a different place. It's not allowed to use in a different company. It's not allowed to use it this way or whatever. It doesn't matter, but somebody is doing those controls because either the state or the company wants to have the biggest benefit in order to survive, and it will always prioritize itself before all of us. And the way to get us trapped is to give us some benefit in the beginning that you recognize, oh, if I have flying points and I don't have any, compared to somebody that doesn't have any, obviously I have some type of a benefit. But once you get addicted to those digits and start chasing them, you realize that the chase is so much more, you will never outperform printing digits. Like, it's physically impossible. But if you're connected to energy, you can optimize to be more efficient and go work in something than actually digging for gold. Like, because it's connected to reality. Like, the thing that gold is connected to reality much more than the fiat denominated stuff is that you can measure, oh, this is 1 kilo of gold, 2 kilos, 1 pound, whatever. And you cannot like dig 1 kilo of gold faster than something else. You can actually measure based on reality and you can optimize based on reality. But in fiat, as we talked, like one digit on one paper, it's a certain amount of energy. Two digits is 10 units of the thing, but it's still almost the same energy to produce it. And then you do 100, which is 3 digits. And now we're printing trillions. Like, good luck outperforming stamping one time. It's not even stamping now. You just click, let's say for trillion, I think it's 12. Digits, like try to outperform somebody clicking 12 clicks on a button and you are actually working. It's physically impossible. The universe doesn't work. The thing that actually when somebody prints those digits into existence is it's diluting all the others when you give it to the network. And reality doesn't care about what all the Keynesian economists think, that, oh, this is good or not. Reality will reprice those digits and make it less valuable. Reality doesn't care. All of us are going to optimize. So every time that they print, whether they like it or not, how the economy should work, reality says, yeah, like you're hyperinflating at some point and you're creating friction in the system. And just like some physical thing, reality doesn't care if somebody is dragging something on the floor and another person is using the wheel. Like, the person that is using the wheel doesn't have friction and it's more efficient. And the Keynesian economists will say, oh, this is better because of that manufacturer is producing it and the manufacturer is the nation state. Like, we can see, and when they print now trillions and quadrillions or whatever, quintillions in the future, just that lie and that reality will be much more visible to much more people. And they will search for the solution out of it, because I don't know people that actually want to struggle this much, that somebody has the benefit of not working and somebody is actually working for them. This is modern day slavery and also shapes or form, and it comes through in the nation states is the fiat, as I said, somebody else is digits in their loyalty programs, somebody else is a video game and there's other digits, some other digits, but it's the exact same game. Somebody is giving you some digits that cost them nothing in reality, and you're putting your effort, your work to get those digits. And it's just such a huge disbalance between those two entities or people or communities, and the people that are actually working are struggling. And in Bitcoin is exactly reversed, as I mentioned. We all have the control, and anybody that actually tries to attack the network has to put real life energy into it And if they try to play games and to manipulate it or something, even if they succeed a little bit, at some point, they'll get wrecked. It's inevitable because, again, Bitcoin is based on reality, and reality doesn't care what Keynesian economist wants to say or somebody with a crypto token or whatever. Reality doesn't care, and there are just consequences. It depends on each individual to study and to realize this new reality in order not to have the bad consequences. Because if you have the proper skills and the proper knowledge, you'll use Bitcoin in the most beneficial way to yourself, and you'll have other consequences than, oh, I'll trade those altcoins in order to get more Bitcoin. Again, like, this is just misunderstanding this entire new system, because we lived for a century in the old one.
Yeah, I see this misconception all the time, and people don't understand how, you know, they're comparing the price of things, of Bitcoin and other things, priced in fiat. And so it's confusing. But when you price those things in Bitcoin, the price of all of those things, it doesn't matter what it is. It's always going down. And this is because of this, the reality of one thing being fixed in rules and math and being actually scarce, and everything else digits. I love this concept that you're talking about, the addiction to digits. This is a really fun idea. So you are, I want to talk a little bit about what you guys are doing at Breeze, because I do think that Lightning is a really interesting idea, innovation that's happening on the network in the Bitcoin protocol. And there was an article that you didn't write yourself, but Breeze posted just recently, and that is titled, I'm going to have to just edit this part out because I'm hunting for the article right now. Where was it called?
Lightning is the common language that we all speak.
Yeah. Is that the title of it? Yeah, it's called Lightning is the Common Language. And so maybe could you give us just a quick overview of, we've talked about Lightning a little bit on the show, but you guys are innovating Lightning, and Lightning is really the transactional, the spending layer of Bitcoin. Tell me a little bit about Breeze.
I'll take this a few different parts and then connect them together. So the Lightning Network is an optimization to use the blockchain and to realize how transactions happen on the first layer. You need to understand this before we talk on the second layer, which is the Lightning Network. On the first layer, every 10 minutes, roughly, I'm sorry, not roughly, but on average, every 10 minutes, we find a block. And in that block, you can put on average between 3,000 and 4,000 transactions, people transacting between each other. And that is scarce. And so when you calculate, that actually equates between 6 and 7 transactions per second. And that is very slow bandwidth to transact the whole world in it. And from the very beginning, everybody knew that we are going to need optimizations that is going to be on a second layer, third layer, fourth layer, and everything else in order to scale for 8 billion people. And some people actually tried to attack the Bitcoin network and saying, oh, this is slow, and let me save you my digits in another blockchain. But with this scarcity in mind, that was a conscious decision that needed to protect the decentralization and security. And the Lightning Network is this protocol that is a layer 2 on top of Bitcoin that says, okay, in order to optimize the blockchain transactions, we're actually going to do it in opening channels on top of the first layer. And let's say you and me are two merchants or two people or two entities and are going to say, let's make one transaction that we are going to send some Bitcoin in an address that both of us control. And we make that transaction to put in that address some Bitcoin. And that is called opening a channel. So opening a channel and closing a channel means that one transaction on the first layer. So nothing new or different compared to the regular transactions on the blockchain. But between those two transactions, between us, we can give each other Bitcoin and for sending and receiving between us almost infinitely without any fees in that particular channel. So that is the optimization. Why this thing becomes a network? Because if I have a channel connected to you and you have channel connected to my friend, I don't need to make another blockchain transaction on the first layer to that third friend, but I will send you, let's say, 50,000 sats over the Lightning Network. And because you have a channel connected to that guy, you will forward those 50,000 sats to him. So it's basically like an abacus. I give you the sats and you send them to the next guy and he can send them to the next guy until it reaches the final destination. Through, because I'm using you as sending the money through you, you say, I will charge you a small fee. In the Lightning Network, in the actual protocol, people set their fees what they want in order to forward or to route the transactions in the network. And because you're competing with all the other Lightning nodes in the network, that's why it can be a monopoly, like, let's say, the banking system. Banking systems are, let's say, the layer two of fiat, but because they are such huge monopolies, they decide what it is and they can price gouge almost anything. But in the Lightning Network, if let's say I'm connected to you, but I'm also connected to somebody else, and let's say I'm connected to three friends, and I will check who has the lowest fees that is going to forward the 50,000 sats to the person that I want to send it to. So that is the dynamic in the Lightning Network on the one side. On the other side, as Breeze, they recognized 5 years ago when the Lightning paper came out that Lightning is a very technical and complex thing. And they said that people would not use this because it's all technical. Some people will use it because there's a incentive to earn fees on top of Bitcoin. It's not only cold storage and purchasing power appreciation, but now you can earn actual fees on top of Bitcoin. And they said, okay, in order for this whole system to be mass adopted, we need three things. And they made the analogy just like the internet. We need a hardware device, we need a browser, and we need internet service provider. That's in the internet, in order to use this complex network. And the internet service providers are people that connect us to the internet. I don't know what's behind this call right now, but I pay a fee to my internet service provider on my side. I don't do any cables. I don't do the routing. I have no idea about the IP addresses and all the complexity that's behind it, taking care by the internet service provider, and you on the other side. And now we are connected and using the internet. And Breeze recognized that this is the exact same path that the Lightning Network is going to take. We are going to need a hardware device. We're going to need a browser in a form of application or a website or anything else to access this network. And we need Lightning service providers, people that deal with this complex system, but they give us the experience only of sending and receiving. And the Lightning service providers are the people that are going to take the fees when the example that I said, sending a 50,000 sats fee and you take the fee for forwarding it. When I use Breeze or any Lightning service provider, basically I'm telling him send the money and the fee goes to them. So those are the two paths of the Lightning, how it works, and the vision of the Lightning service providers in Breeze.
And one part of the story that you mentioned that I think is worth touching on, because it really speaks to this earlier concept you mentioned about how Bitcoin's not asking anything. So Lightning is an innovation that emerged to solve a problem that everyone sort of realized existed. But the solution to that problem wasn't, you know, producing another blockchain or another coin entirely. This is just creating a new way, not asking for permission. But I think it was written by two guys, right, who basically dreamt up the mechanism of how this would work and just started building it. And it's an organic movement that has then sort of attracted other developers and talent who've understood this solution makes sense. And we need, as you mentioned, it is technical. And I think so it's important, but it speaks to like sort of the unstoppable nature of the Bitcoin movement, because there are no barriers for attracting talent. Once people maybe leave behind the idea of trying to get rich using this thing and just trying to help everybody, there's a growing level of intellectual horsepower of people trying to further the advancement of the technology.
Yeah, I would say that the most important feature in Bitcoin is the anti-fragile mechanism in it, because if you attack it, it's basically having a little bit of a friction or struggle in that period of time, but then it absorbs that energy and it fixes that bug, it fixes that use case, it fixes, and it is stronger on the other side because it's an adaptable system. Just like in the comics, there was one superhero that had zero powers, but it absorbed all the enemies' powers. So that guy is anti-fragile. Like, how can you kill it? And that is the Bitcoin system. But all the people that are actually chasing the digits are going to say, oh, like, in order to build something on top of this, it requires a lot of work, a lot of real life cost that I don't want to do. It's much more easier to say, oh, I will make a copy and change slightly something and say, oh, see, I fixed Bitcoin, I did that. And there are basically two ways how that thing actually happened. Either the person does not understand it, or he does understand it and is just abusing the system in order to be the next central bank and the next flying mile points and all of that. So he is trying to give you, again, some benefit in order to addict you to his digits that he does not have to do a lot of work. And that's how all the other blockchains actually happen. But I have not found a single case, and I don't think there is another case where there is not out of those two. Either the founder does not understand it, or he does understand it and is out for chasing digits. But when you come into Bitcoin and you say, okay, the digits that I have are in my control and I can build anything that I want and I can chase the life that I want, being secure that I have the control of not being diluted, of not being stolen from through this digit addiction mechanism. And now people that start storing in Bitcoin in the beginning, they have a little bit of benefit, but let's say one cycle, your Bitcoin position becomes much more than your cash position, than your other assets. And you say, okay, now I can actually devote a portion or full time in order to build anything that I want. And that is the real beauty that I love in Bitcoin. That is not only giving us the best money that we ever had, but through a very sneaky way is getting us out of the addiction to pursue any type of digit and pursue the life that we want to have. And that is why a lot of people say, oh, what do I want my life to look like? Maybe for the first time ever, because they are secure if they put in the work that they will achieve it. The only thing that they don't know in that system is when exactly they're going to achieve that future, but it's not if. And more people are going to realize this and they're going to drop all the other digits, and it's going to create a crash, or it's going to accelerate the crash or hyperinflating of all the other digits. And all the other digits, if they actually decide to connect to this network, it will become a reserve asset, what everyone is talking about. But what if the flying miles loyalty programs are not any other digits, but sats? Nothing actually stops them to doing this. What if all the video games out there are not some tokens within a closed system, but it is in this open system, and it's again sats or millisats or anything else. Now, all those networks are going to be connected to something that we have control over, and the network effects are going to hit so hard, and all those networks are going to appreciate in purchasing power, everybody that is in it. And that is the world that we all Bitcoin maxis want, because we want all the people to pursue the life that they want to lead, and not somebody has the hugest benefit and they steal from all the people chasing the life that they want to lead.
Yeah, it's the ultimate network effect for sure. And I get excited to even just hearing you talk about this stuff, because you can see where it's going. I have two friends of mine I was hanging out with on the weekend, and they were kind of like dabbling in crypto for years. And I've convinced them basically, I would say 90% of the way. And so we were having this running joke, because they've sold everything that they had in crypto for Bitcoin, except for their Ripple tokens. And I love to make fun of Ripple people. It's sad, because the one thing that they're holding on to, Ripple is like the ultimate digit addiction. It's this idea that they're sort of going to achieve this network effect for this network that really has no reasonable expectation of competing with Bitcoin over the long haul. Like there's just no need for this. And so the reason I bring this story up is because that particular thing that is kind of a well-known name for people who are interested, I guess, in crypto stuff is a great combination of the people who are building and creating that token must either understand Lightning and Bitcoin, or and they're doing it out of greed anyways, or like there's no good reason for why any development would go on in that system if they unless they were trying to get more digits.
Yep, and you described exactly that they have the addiction. Like when you want to get off drugs, you have this detoxicating thing that's saying, oh, just have a little bit in order not to feel like this. That's why I'm saying it is an addiction, because you cannot deny that they can have some benefit, but that benefit is the thing that traps them. Because even drugs or in cocaine or fentanyl or whatever it is, you want to have that feeling, whether that's destructive or not, it doesn't matter. But in your mind is perception that, oh, I want this. And when you try to detoxicate out of that system, it's this force telling you, don't. Like, stay. Like, you want me or whatever. And it's just so hard mentally to admit to yourself that I was wrong. And also everything in your body says like, oh, this is good. And the only way is to actually make the leap. There is no way around it. Like you just have to force yourself out of this addiction. And the hard thing is to admitting it to yourself that you're an addict. Like the first step, it's the exact same behavior. And that is why I'm using those words, because we can get addicted to anything. And so many people through the crypto stuff found out that, oh, I can not only be addicted to the digits in everything that existed, but now this is the FOMO trend and I can addict myself to the digits in the blockchain space. But what is the difference between a blockchain digit and the digits in any video game? For me, there's nothing. Like there's a little bit of difference in the benefit that you're using, but the mechanism in the digits, it's exactly the same. That's why I say the fiat in central banks, video games, blockchains, loyalty points, all those are digits, that the mechanism that they trap you is exactly the same. And the people that are already trapped, that experience the benefit, doesn't want to let it go. And they don't care that, or they don't see that that benefit is actually costing them so much more stuff, because the benefit of Bitcoin is in the future. The benefit of fiat is now. you can save the most, but inflation is stealing your future. But in Bitcoin, if you start saving, the biggest benefit is 10 years from now, 20 years from now. And just like an addict, you want the hit now.
Yeah, it makes me think, you know, the biggest digit addiction in Canada where I live is in the price of real estate. And everyone is addicted to the price of the houses going up forever because this is the easiest way to get more digits, even though while it's doing that, it's simultaneously making it impossible for almost everyone to find a place to live. And it's just the craziest addiction, even though and people have become so hooked on it as the price of houses have continuously sort of mostly only gone up over the last 20 or 40 or 50 years. And now everyone wants them to continue to go up so that they can all experience that feeling, even though if it continues to go up, you know, the price of a house in 20 years would be like $20 million and no one will be benefiting. It's
some people will be benefiting, but the majority will be suffering. And again, if they're chasing the digits, that's the outcome. But if you're not focused that I want a house, I want the life, that's the whole sinister thing. As I mentioned, that Bitcoin forces you and not forces you, but reorients you to chase the life that you want to live. And fiat is making that sacrifice, is making you stop chasing the life that you want to lead and makes you chase digits. Digits that you don't control and somebody else can manipulate you through it. And there are quite a few cases now that Bitcoiners are selling the lives, that the houses that they live in order to get more Bitcoin. And in 10 years, when they can afford 8 houses, they'll buy it back because they realize that, am I chasing the digits or am I chasing the thing that I want to have? And if you reorient yourself around that, you might use money, you might use loyalty points, but it is not going to be a chase for them. You're just going to use them in order to achieve the life that you want to lead. And obviously, if you use the Bitcoin system, it's going to give you the most out of all of them. But something temporarily, you hit a sale that is coming to you or some opportunity, sure, use all of those. Let's say if somebody forces some crypto token on me, I'll sell it so hard, so fast, but I'll take the benefits. But I'm not going to chase and, oh, this airdrop or that NFT and that project, and they hook you in all sorts of ways, promotions, sale, referral codes, discounts. Like, this is everywhere now. And Bitcoiners are ignoring all of it and just building the world that we all want to live in.
So maybe as a final thought for anyone who's listening and wants to take the first steps in curing their digit addiction, how would they start?
I'm sorry to say, you have to admit that you're an addict, the first step in AI. But in order, as we talked in the beginning, to get even there, to realize, because this is a very strange type of addiction, that it does not have a very visible physical presence. It's only mental. But in order to understand this addiction, study Bitcoin. And in order to study Bitcoin, you have to realize the defections of all the other digit stuff, why they are inferior to Bitcoin. When you get to the point and you can actually say, I was wrong, then you go on and you build the life that you want to live. But up until you get to that point, and including me, as I mentioned, my lady was chasing me for more than a year about this, to study it. And I had to come to my senses, and through studying it, I had to admit to myself, not to anybody else, you don't have to be public, but to myself, that I was wrong. And this is the most humbling thing ever, that now you can use this new reality. Because whether I want to admit that gravity is real or not. Gravity is part of reality, and it doesn't care if I understand it or not. If I jump off from the 20th floor without any parachute or anything, gravity doesn't care that I misunderstood. The same thing is going to happen with everybody, that they are going to see their purchasing power go away more and more over the years, and they'll be forced to look for a solution. Or you admit to yourself, I was wrong. I will study how to use this new reality, and I can build an airplane. I can build the proper building to stand, and you can use gravity in your favor, but you need to realize all the properties of it. And Bitcoin is exactly the same. It doesn't care what you think about it, but if you think the wrong things, you will stay and you will suffer slowly but surely over the years. And all the other people that already realize this new reality are going to outperform all of those people. And hopefully we're building the future that we want to live in fast enough before all the other stuff are completely crashing down, like in Sri Lanka or Lebanon, that it was just two countries last year. How many will be this year? How many will be next year? That's what I would say. To get the addiction out, you have to get to the point to say, I was wrong. Because whether you say it or not, Bitcoin doesn't care.
Ivan, this was a ton of fun. I want to thank you again for coming on the show. Or our listeners who want to find more of you online, where can they do that? We'll include all your links in the show notes. But
I am one of the few more visible people from Breeze, but my tags are everywhere. Are Nakoo 2000, NACKOO 2000, and Noster, X, Telegram, LinkedIn, everywhere. I'm reachable, so everybody is welcome, especially if you're an Orange brother or a sister.
Right on. And if you were listening and you made it all the way to the end of the episode, I want to thank you again as well for tuning in. And hope to see you again next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Block Reward. We're trying to do something different here, creating accessible conversations meant for people who aren't obsessed with Bitcoin. If you found this episode informative and engaging, hit that subscribe button to make sure you stay updated with future episodes. Your feedback matters. We'd greatly appreciate it if you could take a moment to share your reviews and help us with our goal of creating Bitcoin content that is simple and easy to understand. Bitcoin has an important role to play in the future of finance. It will change the way we save, spend, and invest. Discover why Bitcoin offers a game-changing opportunity for forward-thinking employers by visiting blockrewards.ca. Block Rewards' mission is helping Canadian employers implement strategies for integrating Bitcoin into compensation and benefits, supercharge your recruitment and retention strategies, and help your team members plan for the rising cost of living by rewarding their work with the hardest money ever invented. Special thanks to our top sponsor, Paramount Employee Benefits Consulting, Canada's only Bitcoin-forward benefits and pension advisory. For more information, find them at paramountbenefits.ca. Big shout out to Podigy, our production team that makes all this possible, and BMX Escape for producing our music. Bitcoin is an expansive and dense topic many people walk away from early. To Bitcoin enthusiasts looking for that podcast they can share with friends, family, and colleagues, one they'll actually listen to, we hope that is us. The content of these conversations is meant to be provided for information purposes only. Nothing here is investment advice. Bitcoin is a big topic. Be sure to do your own research before making any personal financial decisions. Thanks for listening.